Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Yes, I survived my first men's camp. And actually, you know, that's my very, very first men's camp ever. I've never actually been on a men's camp before. What a man. And I'm preaching tonight as well. That does deserve a big round of applause. And yeah, thank you. But I'm going to give it a little plug here. If you've actually never been, any guys who've never been, can I seriously encourage you next year to go? It was actually a really cool weekend. The weather was awesome, so that makes a massive difference. I've never been in a four-wheel drive like that before, and it was actually really, really fun. One guy had to get his car fixed. I had no idea how to fix it. I just stood there and watched. But it was actually really, I'm not breaking down, but it was actually really cool just getting out doing these types of things. So I mean it really seriously. If you haven't been to a men's camp, go. It is such a good weekend to get away with guys, hang out, have men's food, which was awesome steak. You won't come back hungry, I can guarantee that. I actually took a few extra little bits with me, snack foods. I didn't really need to use them, though, because I was full. And I had beautiful steak. What else did we have? Peas, corn last night, potato. It was great. So I encourage you to go. Look, I'm going to do something a little bit different tonight. I do have a message, and I do have a disclaimer as well. A certain person's not here tonight, but a certain person I won't name, but his name is Hamish, said to Graham that I haven't got my message organised, and we were going to brainstorm on the way home in the car. Graham, I did have my message organised. Hamish was lying, so I just want to make a disclaimer now. It wasn't true. But I do want to start a little bit differently tonight. There's a few things I feel God wants me to pray about straight away, and I'm going to do that. In fact, it's to do with our youth, and before, when we're praying before the night service, we prayed over Nick. I felt God went up there to say, pray over Nick. Our youth are under attack. Now, it's an easy thing to say. There's always an agenda the enemy has against our youth. But as I was up there, I just really felt that we needed to lay hands on Nick, and obviously Andy's one of the leaders as well, not here tonight, but to pray over her and pray over our youth, because our youth are under attack in a considerable way. And there's in a particular, I felt, might sound a funny way to start a message, but there's an agenda against our youth of this church tonight, because God is doing some amazing things, and the enemy does not want to see that. And I just felt, when I was down there during worship, I felt God say, this is not quite finished yet. And I'd actually like, if you lead youth tonight, or you're involved in leadership, could you just stand up right where you are? Because I'm going to pray again. I just feel I need to pray over as many young people, leaders we have here. Okay, and I just want to really say that I feel that God wants to say to you right now, you're doing an amazing job. You seriously are. And I can say for my own two daughters who come, since we joined LMC 5 years ago, they have grown considerably. And I thank you for that as a parent, and I know many other parents would say the same. But I just want to really encourage you, don't give up the fight. Don't give up what you're doing, what you're investing into these young people, because it is making a significance. And those balloons up there, that's just the beginning. And I'm going to say this on behalf of all the other youth leaders not here, but I just want to pray for you guys, because there's an agenda, and the enemy wants to stop what's happening. He's going to try and get in all sorts of different ways, and I can see some of the things he's doing. I'm not going to say it because I don't want to, but you probably know, and Nick would certainly know what I'm talking about, but I just feel that let's pray over you, and as we pray, I'd like to encourage you to pray with me that our youth will be protected with what God is doing at the moment. There's a significant thing God is doing, and this is just the beginning, and we have to stand the gap on behalf of our youth. And you're directly in the front line. As a teacher, I know what it's like. As a teacher, it has changed enormously in the last 10 years. I've seen a significant shift in the way our young people are growing up. And sometimes it's tragic, really tragic. So let's just pray. Father, I just thank you for these leaders. Lord, I thank you for the leaders who aren't here tonight. I thank you that, Lord, they're prepared to stand up on behalf of our kids and to lead our young people and to be an example to them of what it is to be a young person and to encourage them as they grow, not just in their faith, but even just growing up in their identity of who they actually are, Father. And I know that's an area in particular, and we hear about it, Lord, where young people's identities are being challenged and the enemy's trying to tear that down, Father. And I just really pray right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord, you would really cover our youth right now, Father, wherever they are and whatever they're doing, Lord, just cover them as a team, as a group. And I pray that through these leaders, Lord, you would speak mightily, as you already have, into the youth of this church, God. And that, Father, whatever agenda the enemy has, it is defeated through the name of Jesus. It is defeated through what the cross did. And we just pray that right now, Father. And I'm just doing what I thought you wanted me to do, Lord, just to pray over these leaders, God. Give them the words to speak to our young people. Give them discernment. Give them an understanding, Father, as they share of the things they can say, Lord. Let them prophesy over our young people, Father. And let them prophesy the words you want to say to them, Father, as they come and meet here on a Friday night, Lord. And I pray that, God, those balloons floating now are amazing. But Father, I pray we'll see so many more of those balloons as this year unfolds, that Father, more and more young people will come to know you, Jesus, and say, God, I want to give you my life. And I pray that, God, you really would protect them, Father, protect everything that they're doing. Give Andy and Nick and all these leaders discernment, Lord, in how to lead and how to respond as that situation occurs. And I just pray this, Father, in the mighty and incredible name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Some of you know my dad. Mum and Dad used to come to this church a number of years ago, and my dad passed away probably about 10 years ago, I think it was. In fact, I think it's probably one of the first times I actually met Graham. He came down and saw Dad when he was in the last week he was alive. And my dad, I used to hang out with my dad a lot. Now, as I said, I'm not a four-wheel drive person. I had a good time. But I grew up sailing with my dad. I started sailing when I was about 5 years of age. At first, I was scared, I'll be honest. But after I got over my fear at about 6 years of age, I just loved it. And I would go out with my dad, and I would spend hours literally out in the water with Dad. And we'd go down to the beach for holidays, and my mum would be left on the beach with my two sisters, and I'd be off with Dad sailing. Sometimes for up to 6 hours a day. That's how much I would do with him. And what I loved about my dad was he always knew how to fix things. I could always know that if something broke down, my dad could fix it. And if he couldn't fix it, he'd at least be able to know where to go and get it fixed. Or if something happened, he always had the answer what to do. And I love that about him. And I suppose ultimately, if I was talking about my dad, I always felt safe and secure with him. I always felt that whenever Dad was around, I knew I was under his covering. I knew I was under his protection. And so you could probably say my trust in Dad was always there. And I literally would go out sometimes in 30 knots of wind. Now, I don't know if you know about knots. 40 knots is gale force. So if you go in 30 knots of wind, I can tell you now that's really heavy weather. And I've been out with Dad sometimes with 2 metre swells in an 11-foot dinghy in 30 knots. I'm sure my dad and my mum was having a nervous breakdown on the beach. But we'd go out and I just loved it. But I trusted Dad that I'd be safe. I knew that if Dad was going to go out, it'd be okay. He'd look after me and it'd all be okay. My trust in Dad was, I suppose, I idolised him almost. He was almost my hero. In fact, I said that at his funeral. I realised as I was thinking about my dad, he was my hero as a kid growing up. He still had his faults, and I saw that as I got older. He's still human. He still made mistakes. But I always knew I could trust Dad, and he was my covering. And because of that trust in my dad, I could rest in his love and his covering. I could rest in that because I felt secure. And that's something I want to talk about tonight, resting in God. Something which I've had to really deal with in my life over the years, and I've been talking with other people. In fact, I've had countless conversations with people about how do you actually rest in God? What does it actually mean to rest in God? And I suppose the simple thing is this, that same trust and that love I had for my dad, I can translate, and we can all translate to our Heavenly Father. We can rest in his covering. We can rest in his love and in his protection. In fact, the scripture talks about resting in God. There's numerous scriptures. I won't go through them all, but oh, by the way, there's no PowerPoints tonight. That's my disclaimer being on camp, so my apology for that. But Matthew 11, 28, verse 30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Or Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything. This is one of my favourite scriptures, actually. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Or Psalm 23. I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but you all know it. It's a beautiful psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. So there's so many scriptures. There's just three, but there's so many scriptures about resting in our Heavenly Father, resting in God. But I've got a question for you, and I often say that because I'm a teacher. I can't help it. Why is it, though, if the Bible says that, why is it so often we struggle with resting in God? I look back over my life, and there's times I have struggled resting in God's love, whether it be fear, whether it be anxiety, whatever it would be, I did struggle. And there's times I've had to keep reminding myself, Mike, this is about resting and trusting in God's love. But why do we struggle? In fact, I had a conversation with someone not that long ago who was going through the same thing. I just can't find my rest in God. And then I suppose to me, the reality of why do we sometimes struggle resting in God is simply one word, trust. We don't fully trust God in every situation and every circumstance. Because when you can trust God in every situation, you can rest in him. In fact, you could say, to rest in God, we have to trust in God. But as we trust in God, we can now rest. Think about that for a minute. As we trust him, we can rest. That's why for my earthly dad, I completely trusted in him so I could rest in his cover and his protection. I knew everything would be okay. I never questioned, and that's true. As a young person, I always knew I could trust. But why do we struggle with God? Because we know we can trust, but we have to trust him in everything. Now, you could talk about lots of aspects about resting in God, but there's one in particular aspect I want to talk about tonight. And it comes, I suppose, Isaiah 26, verse 3 says this: "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." I'll read that again. "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." And just to put that scripture in context, it's actually that chapter is actually a song of praise in one sense for the Israelites, that God was rescuing and restoring them from their enemies. And regardless of what the enemies were going to try and do, whatever they had to face, they had to be reminded to keep their mind steadfastly on God and trust God for his deliverance. And by doing this, he would keep them in perfect peace, or you could say rest, as they trusted him. But it's that middle part of that scripture which is what I want to focus on tonight. Those whose mind is steadfast. Because I think that's one of the keys when it comes to actually trusting God. Our mind plays a really significant part in being able to trust in God. Have you ever gone through times when you've been really fearful about something and your mind started to run away with things? Am I the only one, or has other people experienced that? Yep. We all suddenly start to think the worst case scenario or what could happen. And all of a sudden, as that mind starts to tick over and tick over and tick over, the anxiety starts to rise up. The mind, we need to allow God to speak into that each and every day. Trusting God always comes down to how we think about God. How do we think about God? Our minds need to be steadfast in being obedient to him. Our minds need to be steadfast in trusting his word. Our minds need to be steadfast in not allowing the enemy to whisper words of fear or doubt or anxiety and lies into the life or the circumstances we're facing. Because that's what the enemy comes to do. He wants to come and deceive and to trick and to lie on what the actual situation's about. I often say, and I've said this to many people and I remind myself about it, the enemy can never speak the truth. It's not within him to speak the truth. He'll manipulate the truth, but he can never speak the truth. And scripture often links resting in God with our minds. When our minds are steadfast in God, then we can trust. And I want to look at a few scriptures. I don't have a long message tonight, but I'm going to look at a few scriptures which talk about that. In fact, I've found it a really interesting process bringing this sermon together. The reason being is, as you look at the scriptures about resting in God, so often it comes back to talking about our mind. I didn't realise how many scriptures actually talked about it. Philippians 4 verses 6 to 7 says the following. And I've already read this one, I think. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding," there's our mind, "will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." He will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1 to 7, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear," some translations use the word timidity, "but of power, love, and of sound mind." We do have a sound mind. In fact, the Bible talks about having the mind of Christ. But once again, it's talking about that sound mind. Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6 says the following: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." And that's been the biggest thing for me. I've had to learn to not always lean on my own understanding. "In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Once again, we must not lean on our own understanding. We don't see the full picture all the time. We have to allow God to lead us in that. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." We need to bring our mind under control, because that's where the enemy will try to attack us and start to play on our mind and start to bring those fears and those anxieties up. But we can bring our mind to Christ and he will protect it. The word says it right there. So how do we actually rest in God? there's numerous ways. In fact, if I asked everyone to give an idea, I'm sure you'd have everyone come up with their own idea themselves. But how do we actually rest in God? And I've already said it, the first one is trust. We need to trust God. That's why I think sometimes we struggle with that last song, You Can Have It All. In fact, I think you mentioned about it, Chris, when we first introduced the song, or Andy did. That's a hard song to sing. You can have it all. That means I'm going to trust you, God, and not even question you. And I'll be really honest, I find that sometimes hard. Will I hand everything over to you, God? Will I trust you in everything? My finances, and I've talked about this before, my wife, my kids, my family, my work. Will I trust you in everything? In other words, will you have? You can have it all. Have a think for a second. Can you sing that song with absolute conviction, God? Yep, you can have it all because I'll trust you. Don't have to respond, but can you say it? Yep. And that's not a word, I'm not here to sort of put you down or condemn you saying, well, you should be doing that. I'm here to challenge your thinking. How do you actually think about that? The second thing I think we need to do in resting with God, and we hear this so often. In fact, we had a great conversation about it the way home in the car today with Hamish and the guys. We need to read his word. We need to apply it to our life each and every day. In fact, Lyle challenged us again as men that we need to let the word of God sink into our heart. He encouraged us all, read it, if not every day, at least as much as you can. I spoke a message on this, I think it was a couple of years ago, about that the fourth meal principle, building the word of God into our life every day, like the fourth meal. We take 15 minutes to have a meal, so to speak, maybe faster, maybe sometimes longer, slower, but take 15 minutes every day, build it in as part of your daily routine of allowing the word to speak into you. Because at Romans 12, verse 2 says the following, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. The only way we can be transformed with our mind is through the word of God. Let the word of God speak into you, because your mind will be transformed. And one thing I think, the next point, and something I'm learning to do more and more is this. I think we need to learn to be still with God. Actually stop and be still with him. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, he says, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. All of us have busy lives. There's no exception. This world is a really busy place these days, and we're already up to June. Can you believe it? It's almost halfway through the year. It's busy, incredibly busy, but we need to learn to stop and be still. And I actually think it's something we actually have to practice. It sounds really strange, but I think we do. We need to learn to stop. Go, God, what do you want to do? What do you want to say? Nick mentioned before about a worship night coming up, and I remember it might have been the last one, the one before that. During, and I encourage you, please come along to those nights. It's not about the musicians. We all come together and just worship. It's a really fantastic night. But one night, as Andy was leading us, I forget exactly how he said it, but he said, okay, God, what do you want us to do next? And we've just been singing for a while and just allowing the Holy Spirit to minister and all those types of things. And his answer, he said, God said was great. He says, nothing. Don't do anything. Just be still. Just sit in my presence and allow me to minister how I want to minister. I don't know about you, but I'm a doing person. Is anyone else a bit like that? Something needs to be done. You've got to start doing it and get it all done really quickly. That's just part of my personality. I like to keep things moving and that type of thing. I have to learn to stop and be still. For me personally, one of the best ways I can do it, and it's probably no surprise, is to play music. For me, to come into the presence of God through music is one of the best things for me ever. And sometimes I play music with no words, so I can't be distracted by the words. I just want to hear music. And when I do that, it just allows me to come into the presence of God so quickly, because it's something which I relate to so quickly. It's part of my DNA. I used to always think that as a negative. I thought maybe I was using music as a crutch. Then I heard Mark Connor talking about this one day many years ago, and he said, use the things which help you come into the presence of God. And I realised, yeah, music. That's what I'm wired like. That's why I love music. It always moves me. How could you be still every day? How can you take some time just to be still with God? Have a think for a minute. Within the busyness of your life, whether it be a mum or a dad or with your work, can you find some time just to stop and sit in God's presence? I think we can all be honest. I'm sure we can all find 5 or 10 minutes if we're really honest with each other. It's a little bit like when you say, oh, I was going to ring you, but I didn't get around to it. You've ever said that before? One day I said it and I caught myself, well, I've said it many times, but one day I realised, why am I saying that? I actually had time to ring the person, I just didn't get around to it. I should have. I encourage you, find some time just to stop and be still with God. Rest in his presence. The fourth point is come to God every day and take on his yoke. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says the following, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Obviously, when it's talking about a yoke, one definition of a yoke is a harness which they used to put over the ox to keep the ox together and that the farmer could then guide them and lead them. God doesn't want to control us, but he wants to lead us. But we actually have to allow his yoke to come upon us and allow us to come under his leadership. A little bit like that song again, you can have it all. But the thing is, his yoke isn't heavy. His yoke isn't a burden. It says it right there. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But the more we allow God to lead us and take control of our life and say, God, you can have it all, we can start to rest. In fact, I think I said this to young adults last year. In my own life, as I've learnt to trust God more and more and rest in him, I've actually found myself freer. I've actually felt more freer probably in the last few years than I ever have because I've learnt to hand it over to God and to trust him. And the last point, we need to make effort to do this. It says in Hebrews 4, verse 10 to 13, for anyone who enters God rests, also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. We need to make that effort to rest in God. It's a choice. It's a choice of trusting him, saying, God, yep, I will come and rest. But like I said at the start, it's hard. It is hard at times to do that. We're taught so often in other way, as we're growing up, and I see it through school and that type of thing about making our decisions and planning and doing. They're all good things to do. But in God, we have to learn to let him take control, to trust him totally in everything we do. Because God will lead us, and he wants to lead us, he wants to guide us. But we have to stop and say, God, I will trust you. Regardless of what my eyes are seeing, regardless of what my heart says, regardless of what my mind is thinking, I will trust you. And when we do that, we can rest in the confidence that God does have a plan for us. He does have a plan. And it's so easy to say, but it's true. In fact, as I just said that word, I said this, someone here tonight in particular, you need to know God has a plan for you, but you have to let him come and take control. There's someone in particular here, as I said that you need to, I feel like you need to respond to that. You're saying, God, I need you to lead me. And God says, yeah, let me come and lead you, but let me take over and let me come and take control of that. If that's you, I'd actually like to pray with you. I think that there's something in particular God wants to say to you. I'm not going to say it publicly, not as an encouragement to you, but God wants to say, yeah, I will lead you in that. You need an answer. I've got the answer for you, but let me come and lead you how you need to be led. Don't use your own ideas, your own thoughts. I will guide you. I will show you. If that's you, before you leave tonight, please come and grab me, and I'd love to pray with you and to let God speak into that situation. So resting in God, it is a choice. It is a choice. We have to decide, do we want to rest in God or do it our own way? And I'll be honest, sometimes I've really fought God over this. I'm being really honest, I have. I've struggled sometimes going, okay, God, it's your way. And for those of you who heard my testimony a couple of years ago about that journey God led me on, I had to hand it all over to God. And gee, it was hard sometimes. Gee, I struggled with it. But I'm so glad I did. Because it completely changed my life. Completely. And I pray that tonight, just in this simple message I'm giving you, to encourage you, rest in God, but trust in him to do that. And as you trust in him, he will respond. He will respond. During the worship tonight, I felt this a few times over the camp as well. We talk about the love of God. and it's an easy thing to talk about. We know lots of scriptures about it. We know God loves us. But I felt that this tonight, there's people here, you need to have that prayed over you tonight. God wants to affirm his love over your life right now. And I'm not sure if there's a certain circumstance in your life which is causing this struggle in your life, but there's things going on in your life at the moment where you just need to feel the love of God over your life again, just to feel his presence and say, yeah, God does love me, and to rest in that. Now, I know this is maybe a hard thing to do, but is someone here, if you're here tonight and you know that, could you just put your hand up? I'd love to actually pray. I feel God in particular wants me to come and have some of us come and pray over you. Is anyone in that situation? You just need to have the love of God prayed over you and say, yeah, God, I know you love me, but you just need that reassurance. Is anyone in that situation? I know it's a little bit awkward sometimes doing that. Don't be embarrassed about it. I felt it really strongly today, just down at the men's camp sitting there. I just kept getting that word, the love of God, the love of God. If you don't feel confident to do that now, please come and grab me at the end. I'll be more than happy to pray, or someone else would be as well. But if you know you're in a situation where you just need the love of God to be reaffirmed over your life, I encourage you to just come forward later and we'll pray. Because trust me, we all need it at times, absolutely, that assurance. Let's pray. God, I just thank you, Father. I just thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Lord, your word is infallible. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word does not return unto you void, Father, but does accomplish that which we have sent. And Lord, I thank you that, God, we can rest in you every day. It's a rest we have to deliberately decide to do, but it's something we can do as we trust in you, Father. And I pray for every person here right now, Lord, that, God, we would all say, God, we will trust you. We will trust you 100%. We trust you with our kids. We trust you with our lives. We trust you with our families, with our homes, with our jobs, with our finances, with our future. God, I just pray that each one of us, Lord, would go away tonight reaffirming that trust in you, God. That, Lord, regardless of maybe what our eyes see, regardless of what our hearts feel or what our minds tell us, Father, I pray that we can rest in the truth of your word. And I pray that, God, we as a church would continue to trust in you and to rest in that, Father. And Lord, for those tonight maybe in relation to that love of God, I pray that, God, you come and speak to their lives right now, Father. Let them be reminded once again of the truth of your love for us. Your word says, for you loved the world, that God loved the world so much, you gave your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. Your love, Father, in one sense, Lord, is far greater than what we can ever capture in human words, Father. It is incredible, Lord. I pray that, Lord, those who may be struggling with the truth of that, let that truth be revealed afresh again tonight, Father, I pray. And for maybe whether it's one or two people, Lord, about that future direction of trust in you, Lord, I pray that, God, you come and speak into their lives, that they would trust you for what the future is for their life, Lord, and what you have for them. We ask this and we pray this, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.